On this edition of the Cubs Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide, Tim Stebbins, Gordon Wittenmeyer, and I discuss Carlos Correa, the most attractive free agent candidate on the market this winter, and is he a possible fit with the Cubs? And then you'll hear from Carlos when he talks to our Gordon Wittenmeyer.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With Cubs checking, you'll score a Cubs debit card so you can show your support every time you pay. Open today at Wintrust.com/CubsTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Way back. It might be. It could be. It is. Holy cow.
The fly. He scores. Cubs win. Ball. Game. Over. Cubs win.
Welcome into another edition of the Cubs Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. With Tim Stebbins and Gordon Wittenmeyer and Tony Gill, I'm David Kaplan. Major League Baseball playoffs are rolling on. The ex-Cubs that are still playing or did play in the postseason, in the case of a guy like Anthony Rizzo, whose team is out, they have all performed very well for their respective clubs. That leads
Maybe one ex-Cubs closer, perhaps, but...
Perhaps, but he was really good, the ex-Cubs closer, when he had to come in against the Astros in Game 3 that got a really, really good finish to the eighth inning, and then Liam Hendricks finished it off in the ninth, and they're on to Game 4 as we're taping. They were postponed on Monday due to inclement weather in Chicago. So how do the Cubs get back to the postseason? Well, they're going to have to draft and develop a lot better than they did. As I was watching the Braves and the Brewers this afternoon, I'm looking at all these young guys out there and thinking of who's on what roster. And I'm looking going, boy, that Max Fried guy sitting in the dugout pitched really well the other day. And this Ian Anderson kid and this kid and that kid, like there's some dudes out there that these teams have drafted and developed. So the next way, if you're not drafting and developing, is to add an impact free agent. And the name Carlos Correa is someone we've kicked around a little bit. Will be more intense in our scrutiny of him. So, Tim, Carlos Correa, we'll get into the numbers in a minute because he hasn't hidden what he's looking for. But would Carlos Correa be a guy you would be interested in bringing? He has had an injury history.
I'll add this really quick, too. Max Fried was the seventh overall pick in, I think, 2012 by San Diego, and he was traded to Atlanta for, I think, Justin Upton. Cubs have the seventh pick in the 2022 draft. So
nice.
You never know. And other guys like Aaron Nola, also the seventh pick. And Frank Thomas will go a little further back. I'll raise the ceiling even higher.
Hey, if anybody hasn't figured this out, Tim did a story on this. Go check it out on NBC Sports Chicago. It's a great story.
And on the My Teams app as well.
Yeah, lucky number seven. Question was, would Correa interest me? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think as we were kind of talking about before this, you get into the length of a deal, and that's where I think he would interest me. And I think the reasonable expectation for a 27-year-old shortstop who's not 28 until end of next season, I don't see why he wouldn't get a 10-year deal. And I know that's crazy to hear, and that's kind of just like, why? No way. Like, some people have hesitancy to commit to that. And I kind of feel that it's 10 years is a long time, man. Obviously. I think that's pretty reasonable for the age he is and how many prime years he has left. And that's going to cost money, but I think whatever the length of deal is and whatever I expect it to be, I think he would be interesting because he has, even if the Cubs have the next year or two as a bridge season, I don't know, we don't know how long this transition thing is going to take, but by the time you're out of it, he'll still be maybe only on the cusp of 30 or just turning 30 or something, and you still have several good years ahead left, and he's a veteran guy with championship experience when you're trying to get back into the playoffs and World Series at that point.
You know, that's a great point, Tim, because one of the teams that have been has been linked to him, at least in speculation, is the Tigers, and we know they're not there right now. They're not a contender right now, but they're obviously looking at him as a potential building block piece, as a long-term guy, and he is so young. He just turned 27. So this is a guy that if you signed him for 8, even 10 years, you could. That's more club control than you have over a guy that's going to break in next year for you and debut, even if he's the next, you know, say whatever you want, Chris Bryant or Juan Soto. So you could project a guy like that who's got rookie of the year pedigree, all-star pedigree. He plays the position defensively as well as anybody. He's a good hitter for that position, exceptional hitter for that position, for any position. And he's got a tremendous postseason pedigree too. This is exactly the kind of guy that if there is one hitter on the market to go spend money and years on, it's him.
Okay, so in 2016, he missed time in September due to a shoulder injury. 2017, and I'm just reading the facts. I'm not telling you how I feel either way. 2017, torn ligament in his left thumb. He was out 6 to 8 weeks. He also had, I believe, a back ailment in 2018 in June, ended up on the injured list. He also had a rib fracture that he said came during a massage at home. He's had other injuries in his career. So I don't like to use the word injury prone. He has an injury history. He is looking, according to published reports, and Gordon, you got a chance to talk to him. He would like to make this the final contract he signs. He wants, like what Bryce Harper did, like what Mike Trout did, a number of guys, a 10-year or longer deal, put down roots and go, that's my team for the rest of my career. I have always believed, I don't care who the player is, I'm not signing anyone to a 10, 11, 12-year deal. I'll give you a higher AAV. I just don't want you clogging up my books if it turns out the back end of the contract becomes immovable.
Yeah, I think making big proclamations like that and policies like that aren't necessarily very wise, because then you shut yourself out of guys. I remember in the 90s, Tony Taveras, the team president of the Angels, said there's not a player out there worth $10 million. Well, obviously that was a foolish thing to say. And if he was going to operate his business like that going forward, he was going to be out of a lot of good players that way. And when it comes to the years, and I hear what you're saying with clogging up payroll for years out, but you know, an example of Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward's salary has not killed the Cubs' payroll. There are other factors that have hurt the Cubs' payroll. It wasn't per se Jason Hayward, and he's got 2 years left on his deal. One of the reasons you give guys, one of the reasons Bryce Harper got what he did, what Yu Darvish got what he did, 6 years instead of 5 years. Some of the reasons these guys, Tatis is a great example of a guy that got 10 years at a very young age. But there's method behind this madness, because it lowers the AAV, the annual average value of the contract. And that's king in an era of luxury taxes and luxury tax thresholds, because that's how your payroll for the luxury tax purposes is calculated. So if you add that year, it actually gives you more flexibility over most of the course of that contract. And also, the revenues in this game, pandemic aside, continue to rise. So $27, $30 million today is not the same as it is 5 years from now. If you're paying the guy across that 10 years the same amount of money, it actually, relative to inflation and revenues in the game, is a declining salary toward the end of that deal. It's not measured in the same as today's dollars. So there's method behind the madness of these massively long contracts. And I don't think that that's bad business.
what intrigues me, Tim, about a guy like Correa is, and I'm not limiting it to these guys, but Preciado, Ed Howard, they've got a number of shortstop candidates who aren't ready yet and may never make it. I get it. But if one of them does make it 2 years from now, you go, whoa, that guy could be our starting center, our starting shortstop. I can move Correa to third base. It's not as though I have a locked-in deal with Nolan Arenado, for example. I've got an opening there. I could slide him right over, and as long as he would be willing to move over to shortstop or from short to third, I think you would have a pretty good opportunity then to make a good case, like Gordon's saying, to lock that guy in.
Yeah, and he said in February, and you know, this might just be good business on his part entering the last year of his deal where you got to market yourself, but he said he'd be willing to move to third base going forward. I'm not saying that he meant that like next year, but he got that maybe question out of the way that some people might have down the line, like, well, he's a shortstop, that's the only position he could play. Like, no, he got ahead of that curve and he said, like, no, like I would move to third base, excuse me. And yeah, man, I mean, I think that's just the beauty of any shortstop. I mean, even if he doesn't move, like we just talked about all those other guys you mentioned that could move. And it's kind of similar to the Cubs' current roster, like guys in the big leagues, where Nico Horner is a guy Jed Hoyer said he's obviously going to be a big piece of our team next year. Where and what position, I couldn't tell you right now, but the fact is that Nico Horner can play probably five positions for you if you needed, because he's a shortstop in his roots, second base, third. So I guess it's six. He can play second, he's played third, and he can play probably all three outfield spots. So, you know, is Correa the same? Not necessarily, but the same concept where whether it's third or if you move him to left field and when he's 30 something and for whatever team he's on, he's older. I mean, that's not a far-fetched idea.
And by the way, he's already done it, right? World Baseball Classic, when they had all those Puerto Rican shortstops, those Javi and Lindor and him, he played third and did great. That was a great team too. They really surprised in that field. And by the way, Correa, this is a really smart guy. It's no surprise that he said out loud what a lot of people probably already assumed, partly in history, partly projecting him, just so that it was out there. This is a guy who was a 4.0 student coming out of high school, was going to go to college before he got drafted 1-1. And by the way, one of the most fascinating things about him, this is a guy who knows the game from playing it, right? So he knows what he sees. He knows how to do it. He also is a student of modern analytics and is probably, I would give him the edge over almost anybody in the game in terms of knowing the true value of how to use analytics as a tool and applying them to actually play in the game. He says he talks to his teammates about improving their WAR as in terms of improving them, their value to the team. And it winds up being the same thing an old school coach might talk about in terms of, you know, cutting down on your swings and misses, cutting down on your strikeouts, whether that means an extra walk or two, maybe it means an extra hit or two because you're swinging at more strikes, but then that'll do this for that'll translate in this way to your WAR. And that will make you more valuable this way to the team. You should listen to this conversation because the way he was dropping these stats, and I'm not a big modern stats guy at all, but he actually was starting to sell me on it.
You know, if you look at just WAR, and again, do you drive runs in? Do you put up W's? You know, you can go old school, you can go new school, but if you just use WAR, Javi Baez would be the guy he would be replacing at that position. Actually regressed with the New York Mets.
Well, let's start off with this if you're going to talk WAR. In baseball reference WAR, B-WAR, Carlos Correa led all major league position players, as well as in defensive WAR. So that's start from that position of who he is in terms of that stat. Go ahead. Sorry.
Javi Baez has had two seasons over six. He's also had no other season in terms of baseball reference WAR, he's had no other season over three. Now go back to Carlos Correa's numbers. If you want to talk about upgrading your team significantly, Carlos Correa in terms of WAR. His numbers are eye-popping. 4.8, 7.0, 6.7, a 7.2 this past year. I mean, yes, he's had some injuries which have suppressed a couple other seasons. That dude puts up numbers, man.
That thing you said about the injuries, that's the calculus, right? That's really the only calculus with this guy. Do you trust his body? What do you make of those injuries? Are they fluke injuries that aren't coming back? Are they things that are going to be chronic? Is that who he is? But he's putting together a full season now. His first full season in big leagues was a full season, and then he's had some issues in between.
As we were prepping Tim to do this, I was reading a bunch of different articles, and there was an article that when COVID hit, his wife is a former beauty queen, and he said, "Here's the deal: we are the COVID season, and one more year away from trying to hit a financial home run for the rest of our lives for our family." They're now expecting their first child. He said, "We're not getting haircuts. We're not getting manicures. We're not going anywhere. It's home, groceries getting delivered, ballpark, back. And we're going to do everything we can to take this thing as serious as possible." Yes, that was smart. We were dealing with an unknown, especially at that time. But it tells you how serious this dude is about his craft.
Yeah, man. He means, that sounds to me like he means business. When we talk about WAR, I kind of like Fangraphs. That's where I tend to go first. But since 2015, that's when he debuted. And we just talked about how many games he's missed and such. And I think this might have been one of his top two seasons in terms of games played. And this was his like seventh year. But since his 15 debut, he's third among shortstops in WAR. Lindor is one. But if you look at other guys who are on the market this winter, like Marcus Semien, who didn't even play shortstop in 2021, is fourth. Corey Seager, sixth. Trevor Story, seventh. Javi's ninth. So I think that just kind of gives you an idea the type of free agent this guy's going to be. Like, he's statistically, despite missing time in those seasons, he probably would be the top shortstop in terms of at least WAR if he were not dealing with some of those injuries in recent years. And in spite of that, he's still been one of the top three. So I think, I mean, that just shows you what this guy's like, a golden ticket, man. He's probably one of the top three, four free agents on the market. If not, maybe I'm not giving him enough credit even.
Hey, you know what? You might not be, because he's also younger than any of those guys you listed. And he just turned 27. Next year is his age 27 season. Traditionally, you know, and we can get in the weeds and debate 6 months either side or a year either side. But traditionally, 27, 28 seasons are the career prime seasons for baseball players historically. And if that's the case with this guy and he stays healthy, you could be looking at some monster seasons the next 2 years.
And, you know, yes, historically it is the prime. But then I look at a guy like Tom Brady doing what he's doing at age 44, the way training has changed, the way nutrition has changed, the way rest has changed.
The way nobody touches a quarterback has changed. So, I mean, we're talking a different sport too, Cap.
Stop yourself.
Come on, man.
I'm
going to go all Ryan Tepera on you here. I mean, you don't get any softer than quarterbacks in the NFL these days.
What that guy's doing at age 44 – you couldn't even get yourself to the bathroom on time at age 44. That guy's probably going to win the MVP. The MVP.
He probably is. And in today's game, he probably deserves it. But can you imagine, you know, I was thinking about that exact same thing. Can you imagine Dan Marino, the numbers he would put up if he played with these rules? I mean, he put up massive numbers already because he had that quick release and you know, just, you know, Dan Fouts. For God's sake, can you imagine the numbers those guys would put up if they were playing today's game?
They would have to make a commitment to diet and nutrition and a lifestyle.
No, they'd have to show up and just tell everybody,
no,
don't touch
chance.
Them.
You're better than that.
Oh, hell no. Those guys could show up and just take them out of that era, drop them into this era, and their numbers would go off the charts.
But you make a compelling case, both of you, that if indeed – you're going to sign somebody to a big ticket contract, it might be smarter to bet on Carlos Correa at age 27 than giving a 7-year deal to Robbie Ray or Marcus Stroman, guys who are trying to hit, you know, one more proverbial home run financially.
Well, you go ahead, Tim. Yeah.
I was going to say like that. You said if that's like the therein lies the rub, right? Or whatever the phrase is. That's the big thing with this is like we're talking about why this would make a lot of sense, why it perhaps would make the most sense of any free agent for the Cubs. But it is such a big if because this literally might not even be something that they even consider this offseason. It just might be the fact that we're not looking to break the bank this winter. We might not be looking, even if this guy would be perfect in a perfect scenario for not just now, but the next 6, 7, 8 years or whatever. Like, yeah, it would make a lot of sense. And despite that, it might not be something they're looking to do this winter, despite the fact that it wouldn't just be a now move. It would be a move for 5 years from now. And obviously too, that they're going to have any team that wants Carlos Correa is not going to be alone. That's going to be a tight. Well, actually, you know what? I don't know how many teams want to give $300+ million, but he'll have suitors, obviously, is what I mean.
You know, that I look over as we're talking about Correa and I'm perusing the available starting pitching, and there just isn't that much out there. There's older guys you could take a flyer on, Justin Verlander coming off Tommy John, Zach Greinke, who's 38 years old, Max Scherzer, who's 38 years old. Johnny Cueto, who'll be 36, Marcus Stroman, 31, Kevin Gausman's going to be 31, coming off a great year, but he has never pitched like that. So are you risking that kind of money? There's Danny Duffy, there's Corey Kluber, Carlos Martinez. Like, you're rolling the dice on some of these dudes. Carlos Correa, there's no sure thing. I get it. Carlos Correa is as close to a sure thing as there is.
You know what? I agree with you, Cap, and I think that if you're talking about rebuilding and you're creating this next long window to contend, if you locked in a guy like that, if this was a guy that you bet all your projections and computer analysis on, that you trusted his body and you trusted what we've seen so far in this guy, and a 10-year deal might be a decent deal. And now all of a sudden you got him locked in at a premier position. You've got a couple of other guys already in place. You got some guys coming, the Brandon Davises of the world, and potentially a group behind that might produce one or two impact guys. Now you can concentrate on pitching. You can make pitching kind of this you're going to need a couple of staples in your rotation, but maybe they become like Gausman was for the Giants, where it's a guy for a couple of years. It's a guy that you hit on, you take a couple of shots at three or four guys and you hit on a couple of them. They become your guy for a couple of years until you start bringing in guys from the system that make it. And maybe even the right guy on the free agent market comes along and you go invest in him. But meanwhile, you've got sort of this rock solid foundation in your lineup going forward that can compete. And if you come up with the calculus to fill all those innings, now you got a team that can compete, and we do believe they have bullpen arms. I think we're all in agreement on that.
You know, I'm looking at the 2023 class, Tim. There's really nothing like Carlos Correa coming in 2023 as well. I mean, the top names that are going to be out there, and some are still under option years, 33-year-old Chris Sale, 33-year-old Jacob DeGrom, 37-year-old David Price, Trevor Bauer and all his issues, Justin Upton, 37. The one guy, and he'll have an option and then he'll be a free agent, is Xander Bogaerts, and he'll be 29 turning 30. There really isn't somebody that makes you just go, oh my goodness, whatever the price, we got to get it done. That makes Correa even more attractive.
Well, the one that is – so Trey Turner, right? He's a free agent after next season. That would be one, but I think – I mean, if you look at their war, like, I'll just go back to that list. Like, Correa's 25.1 since 2015. Trey Turner's 24.1. Trey Turner's played more games, though. So is that the same – are they same level of player? I mean, it depends what you're looking at, I guess. I mean, I think they're both really great players for sure, and they're both probably a top 6 to 8 shortstops at the worst. But that would be the one. And I think I gotta wonder, like, when Jed Hoyer keeps saying, like, we're gonna spend wisely this winter, it's like kind of what you just touched on, Cap, where you list off some of these names and the starting pitchers more specifically, where it's like, okay, do you want to roll the dice on a couple of the some of these guys that maybe I don't know if that would be an investment that you want to make and have for the next few years, where maybe you do something in that area specifically that maybe is, I don't want to say low key, but it's not those big names or those veteran names. And maybe that part of that spending wisely is then you see a sure thing and that's where you pinpoint, but you, in the other areas, you not play it safe, but you play it, like he says, you just play it smart.
Well, Gordon, you had a chance to catch up with him. Most guys, like Marcus Stroman, you did a great interview with him. Most guys will say the right, oh, sure, I'm interested in Seattle to the Mets to the Marlins to the Dodgers and everything in between. Did you get a feeling like, this dude's truly, truly would listen to the Cubs?
Oh, I think he would listen to the Cubs. There was a time in his life when he thought he was going to be a Cub. And this is part of how we started talking. I was there for his pre-draft workout day at Wrigley Field. Dale Swain's pitching to him. Theo's there. Jed, McLeod, Tim Wilkin, they're all watching. He's putting balls in the seats to all parts of the ballpark. He called it the best of the 7 pre-draft workouts he did for the top 7 teams drafting that year. And the Cubs called his agent afterwards. Actually, his agent was there. They probably just talked to him on the spot and said, listen, we drafted 6. Most people thought he would get that far. If he gets to us, we'll draft him. And his agent told him that, and he said, I thought I was going to be a Cub. And he said there was a moment there where he's hitting those home runs, and it's the historic park and it's got the ivy, and he says, I did imagine what it would be like to be a Cub in the major leagues there. And he says, who knows, maybe I'll get the chance to think about that again.
Can you imagine, had they been able to draft him, how different things might look for that club over the last handful of years, because the pick that they took,
Albert Almora,
it's a busted pick. The 6th overall pick.
Can you imagine the shorts? Imagine the infield defense they would have had. The choices of infield defense. Chris Bryant might have been an outfielder with no thought of third base by the time he came along.
Yeah, maybe. You could have gone Correa at third, Addison Russell at short, Javi at second. Javi at short, Russell at second, Correa at third. Correa at short. You could have done so many different things.
No doubt. And with the ability of Chris Bryant to play at a pretty damn decent major league third base anytime you needed him to. And all that hitting at the time. You know, Addison Russell crapped out for multiple reasons. He wasn't quite the hitter that any of them were. Javi grew into a force. Chris Bryant was always a force. Correa, as long as he was on the field, was a force. I mean, imagine what they had there.
So if they were to add that guy, just that guy, even at 10 years, 275, 10 years, 300, and he's locked in, your payroll is still nothing.
Right, right. And not only that, but you could front load it if you wanted to make it even easier on the back end of it. So, you know, AAV is going to be 30 on a 10 and 30, a 10 and 300. AAV is going to be same no matter what you do. But you could go 40 up front on the first year or two. You could throw a $20 million signing bonus in on that if you wanted, and to reduce what your actual commitment is each year. And by the end of that contract, maybe you're down to paying 15, 20 a year on the last few years of that deal.
Yeah. And as I brought up all the starting pitching that would be coming up over 2022, 2023, you've mentioned the top two being Marcus Stroman and Robbie Ray. You know, you go to 23, there's really not a ton there where you go, oh my goodness, I have to have those dudes. There really isn't. So there is not one. Now, again, there could be Shohei Ohtani Jr. coming, and we have no idea. But beyond that, there is no one that rivals the skill set and the age that guy brings.
Which is going to make it harder to get him, right? Because it's going to increase his market almost by definition. But the Cubs have the ability to do it. and the Cubs have the background with the guy, and the guy has already pictured himself in a Cubs uniform. And he wants to win. You might have to convince him how you're going to do that in the short term. He did say that. Wherever I go, I want to win. And he's done that most of his career.
Well, Gordon, Tim, any other thoughts as you look over the next couple classes? Is that where you put your money? Or do you put your money in? We haven't talked about who might be available in trades that you go, all right, I'll take that salary. Like the Padres took Darvish or the Padres took Snell. We haven't talked about those scenarios.
Well, you said the Padres. That kind of reminded me of Manny Machado in the sense that if they were to get Correa, and even if they were a year or two down, like 2020 in the short season, the Padres made the playoffs, obviously. But 19, they didn't, and Machado got a 10-year deal. That kind of reminded me of that. I mean, here's kind of a factor, too. Like, I do think the Cubs system has some up-and-coming starting pitchers that if they're healthy, if they get healthy, like, there's some potential there. Like, Cole Franklin didn't pitch this year. Braylon Marquez didn't pitch this year. Like, you know, that's that we have to see it, right? Like, obviously, I'm not projecting those guys to be co-aces in the next Cubs World Series rotation, but that's interesting. I bring those guys up, though, because on the topic of starting pitching, if you get a guy like Correa, I'm not saying immediately you go out and mortgage your farm system, but maybe as you get closer to a period where, yeah, this is the offseason where we're really going to spruce up the roster and be competitive. Well, by then, a lot of these shortstops that we talk about, you know, ad nauseum, these prospects, they're going to be closer to the big leagues. Maybe it's not the winter, maybe it's the trade deadline, but maybe then some of these guys are useful in that regard where, okay, we can go get a comparable age, but a pitcher or something that, you know, we can flip top prospects. Like, I don't know. There's endless possibilities, I think, with how much shortstop prospect capital they have. And if they keep developing, and if you add in a guy like Correa on free agency, that only kind of heightens that. It's a lot of what ifs, but that seems to be something that could be interesting down the line if they locked in a guy like Correa.
By the way, could I throw in just a funny story about this whole process? I've been talking to guys, like the whole who wants to be a Cub thing that I do. I did that for years when they were rebuilding the first time. Yeah. And then along the way, periodically, when they had specific needs, I would do that too. And I was identify these guys. So I've had a lot of kind of fun with that this year after the Cubs were out of it. But when you get to the playoffs, it is freaking hilarious because it's a whole different animal doing these stories, obviously, right? Back the first time they were rebuilding, I was covering the 2013 World Series. And Jacoby Ellsbury was going to be a free agent. Of course, he had all that connection to Theo and the guys. So I grabbed him on the field, said, "Hey, Jacoby, I cover the Cubs. You got a minute? I want to talk to you about, you know, how you might be a fit with the Cubs." He says, "Dude, I'm in the World Series."
Yeah.
And it's funny, when I was talking to Correa, I specifically made sure that I got him on the off day. And they had a 2-0 lead. So, you know, the defenses are down a little bit. The intensity and the stress is down a little bit. And then I started off by talking to him just about that moment, the pre-draft workout thing. And, of course, I was there and saw it. But it was funny. Once we started talking about it, he says, "I don't want to think about it right now. Obviously, I'm focused on winning a championship with the Astros." But they, after a quick pause, "But I've heard a lot of players talk about how great it is to play at Wrigley Field." And then we just started talking about it. It was great. Yeah.
By the way, I have one quick trivia question, because the Braves just beat the Brewers 3-0. And their pitching was lights out. They got one big hit. The Braves offense in the NLDS without Jock Peterson, leave him to the side, the team is hitting 176 with 3 RBIs, 1 of 16 with runners of scoring position, and 1 home run. Jock Peterson in the NLDS, 3 of 3, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, 1 for 1 with runners in scoring position. He is the first player with 2 pinch hit home runs in one series since, Gordon, I think you probably covered this guy, Bernie Carbo in the 75 World Series.
That's why they call him Jocktober, right?
That's what it says, Jocktober.
Rock and roll, yeah, man. And they're not starting him. Why? Like, the dude is 3 for 3 with 2 home runs and pinch hitting.
Hey, man, are you going to argue with this success?
It's working.
They're leading. They're picking their spots and unleashing this weapon, this massive weapon. Hey, by the way,
oh man,
you know what the real weapon is in this postseason is ex-Cubs. Like we used to think, having an ex-Cub on your roster would tank your chances in the postseason. Check this out: Schwarber 6-for-16 with 2 homers. Rizzo's got a homer in 1 game. Bryant's 3-for-7 with a homer. Schwarber, Rizzo, Peterson, and Bryant 13-for-30, 433 average, 500 on base, 700 slug, 1200 OPS, and god dang, how many home runs? 2, 4, 6 home runs between the four of them, and their teams are 6-4, and two of them have leads in the ALDS, and the other one's tied.
And by the way, did you know what Jocktober did today to get that home run? He has made a change in what bat he's using.
Oh,
freeze frame his swing. And
I thought you were going to talk about the high fastball.
He's hitting with an Anthony Rizzo model bat. It has Rizzo's name on it, the whole deal.
So Rizzo's got 2 home runs in a postseason.
There you go.
So he's using Rizzo's bat. And 5 years ago, Rizzo used Matt Caesar's bat. It's the world full circle, man.
Full circle. There you go.
Six degrees of Matt Caesar.
There you go. All right. So Gordon caught up with Carlos Correa over at Guaranteed Rate Field, and they discussed his impending free agency whenever the season ends for the Houston Astros. Take a listen to Gordon and maybe future Cub, Carlos Correa.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you think that you were going to get drafted by them coming off of that?
Actually, they had told my agent that if I was going to fall to that pick, they were going to pick me. And then the Astros called, and obviously I got drafted in the first pick overall. But, yeah, there was a chance I was going to be a Cub.
What was your thinking at that point, like taking those swings and hitting those home runs in an empty ballpark?
Actually, that was my best workout. I did the top 7 teams in the draft that year, and that one was the most impressive one. I performed the best on that one, and I was pretty excited about that one, so I can understand why they wanted to pick me in the draft.
Did you picture at that point, like that day, did you picture like, here's what it'll be like being in a Cubs uniform in this place?
I did. When I was in the workouts, I would love to play here every single day in the big leagues. But I was a Houston Astro, and you know, life took a turn there. And you know, I'm very happy that I get to represent Houston.
Can't argue with 1-1. Now you might have some choices.
Yeah.
And they're a ball club right now that needs a shortstop.
Do you think so? I mean, I don't know if they're going to be after a shortstop in the market, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I've written it, and other people have too. I mean, and they agree. They don't have a major league everyday shortstop that you can really count on right now in the system. They got guys that might be coming in the low minors. They got nobody right now. What do you think these days about what it would be like to be a Cub?
Well, I don't want to think about it right now. Obviously, I'm focused on winning a championship with the Astros. But I've heard a lot of players talk about how great it is to play at Wrigley Field. And I've never gotten to play there in the major league level yet. And I keep hearing amazing things about Wrigley Field. actually a lot of players saying he's the best stadium to play at.
Really?
So
even now, even like, you think that's still the case? Even looking at what they've gone through, they sold off all their last core.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when they traded everybody, and then you look at the couple games after that, it was still sold out. I was like, these fans are great. So yeah, it's something that definitely crossed my mind during that draft workout, pre-draft workout. And maybe in the offseason will cross my mind again, so we'll see.
With the Astros, Jim Crane just the other day said, we'll be in the mix for Kirk. Well, what the hell else is he going to say? But they have talked to you in the past from the reports I've read, but not necessarily getting to where the market is. Are you optimistic at all? Do you think that they'll...
Honestly speaking, I'm being honest with you, let's see how I put this. I just don't know. I just don't know if they can meet my price with what they offer in spring training. It was one of those offers that it was like, take it or leave it, this is what we got. We want to see you play this year. And now my value has gone up.
Big time.
A lot more than it was at that time. So, you know, if they didn't want to meet my price in spring training, now that I led the league in WAR at 7.2 and I'm in the playoffs helping the team, I don't know if they will meet my price now.
That was the 6-1-20 that I read about?
It was 6-1-20 and then 5-1-25.
Okay. So they still, yeah. This is a historic free agent market for shortstops, but you have to feel pretty confident about your position in that market. Are you at the top of that market?
I like where I'm at right now. Like I said, led the league in WAR for Baseball Reference, led the league in defensive WAR, and had a great offensive year. So when you talk about shortstops that can do both things at an elite level, I think you should mention my name.
Plus, you're the youngest in that group.
And I'm the youngest.
You just turned 27.
Yeah.
That always adds value in free agency.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, a lot of people don't believe in 10-year contracts and long-term deals and all that. But when you look at most of the 10-year contracts that have been given out, long-term deals are players that are 31, 30, 32.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be 27 on my first year. So, you know, I'm young, I'm healthy, and I perform, so we'll see what happens.
People have mentioned you in the context of the Tigers, too, who we know aren't there yet, right? So obviously they're looking at you as possibly a building block piece. Again, a long-term guy. You bring yourself in, 27 years old, long-term vision for building around you. You see that as part of what the pitch is in the offseason, what the conversations will be like in the offseason?
Yeah, I want to win, Gordon. If I'm being honest, whatever life takes me, I want to win. You know, money's great and everything, but I don't want to be miserable in a clubhouse losing every single day. So, you know, when I whatever I end up, I'll make sure that it's a team that's ready to compete, and I want to make that team better. I've analyzed a lot of teams this year, and there's a lot of teams out there with potential that don't have enough information. Or maybe their analytics are not up to date. And I feel like I can bring that to any clubhouse I go into, and I can help the team just be better all around. Because one thing I do here is I just don't focus on myself getting better. I focus on every single player on our roster and try to make them better.
That's one of the most fascinating things about when I read about you is the way you embrace the modern statistics and how that fits. You're a guy that knows it on the field with your own eyes and ears and legs and arms and everything. You know how it works. You do it.
I don't keep it to myself, though.
But you also...
Every single guy in my team, I talk to them about analytics. I talk to them about WRC+. I talk to them about walk percentage. I talk to them about defensive run saves. I talk to them about UZR. I talk to them about all those things. And I not only tell them what they mean, I also show them and tell them how you can accomplish those things. I talk to, you know, Altuve about, you know, it's not about just making the routine plays. You also got to cover a lot of ground in order for you to be a really good defensive player. And, you know, I tell Jordan, with your power, you know, the walk percentage is really important because that's just going to say, hey, if we don't throw it down the middle, this guy's not going to swing. So it's gonna make you a tough out. So I just make sure that I don't only talk about analytics. I also explain it to them. And, you know, everybody here in this team is on board. That's why we were so good this year.
That's a whole different form of, like, leadership. I mean, it's one thing to be a clubhouse leader that talks to guys and helps make guys better. But when you understand what the front office is thinking, too, and how that plays into winning, that probably adds to your value, too.
Yeah.
To any team.
I mean, if you put every player out there and everybody tries to achieve, let's say, a 3.54 award, I mean, the team's going to be pretty nasty at the end of the year.
Is this team like that? The Astros?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't talk about homers here. We talk about war.
Really?
Yeah. One through nine in the lineup, in the guys in the bench, the guys in the pen, the starters. We look at war. And we know the higher the war is, the more wins we're going to give our team. And we all understand how it works. And that's why it's so important for us, because we truly believe in analytics and we truly believe it helps you win ball games.
Because
in this lineup, if you walk, and then, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that can hit home runs and can hit for average. But if we walk and, you know, we hit, we're going to be great.
Plus, that's a measure of the overall player. So it's also what you do in the field.
Defensively and base running.
And you said you want to win. So if the Cubs want you, they're going to have to convince you that this is part of what signing you means.
Well, nobody has to convince me. I'll do my own homework. I know how to go, you know, to Fangraphs and Baseball Reference and look at teams' depth and look at the farm system and look at everything and look at the players that they have and see, hey, I think with this team I can win a championship, or say, I don't think this team has a chance of winning a championship. So I will do my own homework when the time comes, but right now I'm focused on this team and winning.
Yeah, you haven't done any of that homework on anything.
No, when we play other teams, I see their rosters and, okay, you know, I kind of have an idea and I say, well, this player with the right information can be nasty. Or this player just, you know, he's got a lot of potential, but he swings at everything. 2-0 is an automatic swing because he thinks he's going to throw a fastball in the middle. Just with the right information, players can get so much better. And we've seen that throughout the year in this team when players come through, how much better they get when they get to this team just with the right information. So it's a lot of information at the end of the day.
And you wouldn't have done anything on the Cubs. You wouldn't have looked at the Cubs.
Yeah, we haven't played them, so yeah. I don't know.
They got some serious pitching issues they have to address. Yeah. I mean, they got some guys coming, but they got to fill a lot of gaps. So
yeah, I don't know much about the Cubs. So obviously, we didn't play them this year.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time, man.
Thank you, brother.
And good luck to you.
Thank you.
That was Gordon Wettenmeyer, our senior Cubs insider, with Carlos Correa of the Houston Astros. We'll find out just how serious the Cubs are about getting this thing turned really quickly. Are they spending in the offseason? Because there's no more attractive candidate, as I think we pointed out, than Carlos Correa of the Houston Astros. Tim, any final thoughts, kid?
Negative.
Gordon, anything else?
No, I said it all, Cap.
All right. For Tim, for Gordon, and for Tony Gill, the man at the controls, I'm David Kaplan. This has been a very fun edition. Who knows? Maybe that's a future Cub we were talking about, Carlos Correa. This has been the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. We will see you next time.